Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Based on her life experiences, that she thought a Latino woman, somebody with her background, would be a better judge than a guy like me, a white guy from South Carolina. And it is troubling, and it's inappropriate, and I hope she'll apologize. And if I had said something like that, or someone with my background and profile, we wouldn't be talking about this nomination going forward. But we'll listen to what she has to say. But she's got to prove to me that if I found myself in court with a Latino woman, in front of her, I'd get a fair shake, and that's up to her to do.
Blue Monday, how are you, Blue Monday? Got to work like a slave all day. Here come Tuesday.
Oh, it is the Monday edition of the Savage Nation. I saw an incredibly wonderful HBO, documentary. Wasn't really. It was an act of Winston Churchill, but I'm sure the words were his. It was amazing to see what this man went through in the darkest of times fighting the Nazis. And at the end of World War II, after he led Britain through the darkest years where they almost lost their freedoms to Hitler, he had a run for office as a conservative, Churchill did. And he saw that the British people wanted full employment and a welfare state, meaning socialism, meaning Obama's America. They wanted Obama's socialist government in England. And he tried to warn the British of what socialism would bring, just as I've tried to warn you what socialism is bringing and what Obama is doing to you. And Churchill said the following. He said, no socialist government conducting the entire life of the country can afford to allow free, sharp, or violently worded expressions of public discontent. Notice he said free, sharp, or violently worded expressions of public discontent. They would have to fall back on some form of Gestapo, and no doubt a very humanely directed Gestapo in the first instance. And this would nip opinion in the bud, said Churchill. It would stop criticism as it reared its head, and it would gather all the power to the party and the party leaders, rising like stately pinnacles above their vast bureaucracies of civil servants, no longer servants and no longer civil. If that is not Britain today, if that is not America today, I'd like to know what Churchill was warning us about, which leads us to the next point. Over the weekend, four articles appeared about my case to vindicate my name in England. Four major articles appeared in England. Savage seeks damages of libel suit against UK Smith. You can read the London Daily Mail article on michaelsavage.com. There were many others, but they're all along the same lines. There are many other stories we can talk about. It's open mic to Mike Monday on the Savage Nation. The phone number is 1-800-449-8255. Suppose you want to talk about the GM socialized General Motors. You know, it used to be said what's good for General Motors is good for America. I guess you could say what's good for Obama is good for America, since this man is now seizing control along the lines of a socialist dictator. Only 21% of voters nationwide support a plan for the government to bail out GM as part of a structured bankruptcy. And if you actually learn who is running or is going to run the General Motors company, your hair will stand up. It's a 31-year-old kid who probably could not change the plugs in a car. And this 31-year-old child, Brian Deese, a friend of someone's friend in the Obama administration, Brian Deese, who I'm sure could not change the spark plugs in a car, is actually in charge of dismantling General Motors. But he sits down the office a bit from the godfather of all of this, and that man's name is Larry Summers. And you don't know who Larry Summers is, but I do, because I do the homework that the rest of the media refuses to do. And I'll talk about Larry Summers and his peon who was breaking apart General Motors, and you'll find out why this is happening. You'll find out that the godfather of the breakdown, and the breakup, rather, of General Motors, Larry Summers, is the very same man who was the Treasury Secretary under Bill Clinton. You'll find out that he helped push through the Graham-Leach-Bliley Act in 1999, which eliminated more than six decades of restrictions against banks offering commercial banking, insurance, and investment services, and that set the stage for the financial collapse of 2008. And after he went to work for Obama, it was revealed that Larry Summers collected millions of dollars in speaking fees from the very companies that he's doling out billions of taxpayer dollars to, and they include Citigroup, J.P. Morgan, Lehman Brothers, and Goldman Sachs. The corruption couldn't be more blatant if it was occurring in Venezuela. The corruption couldn't be more blatant if it were occurring in the ex-Romania. And yet it's occurring right now in front of your eyes because of the government media complex, because you don't know what's going on. And that's the job of talk radio. That's why we're under attack. That is why there's an orchestrated campaign around the world to destroy Michael Savage and soon the others who are now doing nothing for me. They will go next. Make no mistake about it. They took the most visible talker today. Tomorrow will be Rush, then Wallbanger, then Corned Beef, and so forth and so on. I think eventually they will even get to the hemorrhoid with ears. But the fact of the matter is, that's what's going on in the world. And while all this is going on, North Korea has put its long-range missile on a launch pad. That's right. North Korea has positioned its most sophisticated long-range ballistic missile at a launch site for a test firing that could come within weeks. And our U.S. Navy does nothing but perform ritualistic exercises. Our U.S. Navy has the capacity to blow up those ballistic missile launch sites. They've had the capacity for years. Our cowardly administration, just as the cowardly administration that preceded it, is doing nothing. It's a disaster, ladies and gentlemen, to believe we've come to this point in American history, that we have the most powerful military on earth, and it is incapable of defending us. And speaking of that, I was on my bicycle today, and I went into a local department store to look for some exercise clothes, which nobody sells anymore. I have no idea why. Nordstrom doesn't, Macy's doesn't. Nobody sells them anymore. And as I was leaving, a young man dashed out to follow me, and he said, "I just wanted to thank you for what you've done for the U.S. Marines." Turned around and looked at him. I saw a perfectly fit young white male. Man looked like he could take on anybody in a cage fight. Nicest guy in the world. And I said to him, "How do you know about that?" He said, "I'm a U.S. Marine just back. I'm a helicopter pilot. I'll let it go at that." And he said, "We really love you for what you've done for the Marines." I said, "You know what I did for Colonel Chesani?" He said, "Yes, we do. We all do." I said, "Well, thank you. You're the real heroes, and someone's got to stand up for you." And I told him why I thought George Bush did not lift the case against Colonel Chesani and the other Marines who Bush persecuted. I said, "The reason Bush persecuted the U.S. Marines with innumerable court-martials, in my opinion, was to make certain that you guys who are trained to defend us don't do a good job at it. To make certain that some knucklehead in Washington, D.C. decides what goes on the ground in the battlefield itself. They wanted to take away command and control from the field and send it back to some moron in Washington, D.C. All I can say is this young man who was actually there flying helicopters shook his head and he said, "Dr. Savage, we all love you in the U.S. Marines. I want to say, well, it's a mutual love. That's all I can say." So what would you like to talk about? I mean, GM, what is it you're going to say? What are you going to say? What are you going to say that we don't already know? That Obama's busting out one of America's great companies like a sporting goods store in The Sopranos? You think there's going to be anything left at the end of the day? You think these idiots are going to make a car that you're going to want to buy? Well, it's been tried before. Another socialist dictator tried to make a car, and we'll be telling you about that, from the actual man who ran the car company for the dictator. And it's called What I Learned as a Car Czar. It's an article that appeared today in the Wall Street Journal and is written by the man who actually ran the car industry for the Romanian dictator who decided he wanted to have a car industry. This man ran it, and he said, "In the land of the blind, the one-eyed man is king. This is the land of the blind, but many of you don't even know you're blind. Many of you are deaf, dumb, and blind, and you have no idea that you're deaf, dumb, and blind. because you've been blindsided by your government media complex. Green Bay, Wisconsin, Pat, when we come back, we'll be up talking about GM, Korea, cars, my case in England, George Orwell, Winston Churchill, you name it. Oh, yes, and one other thing. Living well is the best revenge. Before I take...
Savage.
In the land of the blind, the one-eyed man is king. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. Yeah, England has become the nanny state that Winston Churchill warned them about, with cameras on every street corner that can see into a person's you-know-what, with speech codes, with hate codes, and we're not too far behind with our socialist Labor Party under Barack Hussein Obama, which is why I'm eating more meat than I've eaten in a long time. Now you say, well, what does that have to do with it? Well, for one, living well is the best revenge, and I realize I'm not going to live forever. Since I've been on a restricted diet for 30, 35 years, high doses of vitamin C, et cetera, and low-fat diet, and I've been, you know, healthy as a result, I decided now is the time to go back to what I was raised on. So I'm going to give you an example. Last night, I had a bolognese sauce, which is a meat sauce, at Aliotto's. It was the best meat sauce I've ever had in my life. Maybe it's because I don't eat a lot of meat. I don't know. I just sitting there, the fish, da-da-da. The fish look good, but I've had so much fish I could swim. I just said, you know what, let me have the bolognese sauce on ziti. And it was just, you know, it was like perfect. So today, I said, oh, I was guilty because it tasted so good. I slept like a baby. Today for lunch, I got a sausage and pepper sandwich and french fries. I'm eating like a truck driver who doesn't know any better. I mean, this is the kind of food that I grew up on. Who knew? Who knew that sausage and pepper sandwiches would kill a man? After a number of years, who knew that, you know, meats, heavy meats, I didn't know any of that. As I, you know, got older and went to college, I tried to figure out why my father died young. And, you know, we picked up what was learned, and you learn to modify your diet, exercise, vitamins, and whatnot. And it works. I mean, it's not a mystery anymore. Heart disease is pretty much nailed down. You can't control the genetics of it, but you can control the environmental factors to a large degree, unless you're one of the rare few that can't. And I'm afraid that eventually sausage and pepper sandwiches and meat sauce will be outlawed under this new nanny state of Obama's. After all, I mean, he's a man who works out and he wants everyone to look good and be trim and feel good and be right. And he wants everybody to be, you know, exercise and be in good shape. It's all very noble, but soon the state will impose it upon you. So as I say, I think you better eat as much bolognese sauce and sausage and peppers and meatball sandwiches as you can before Obama nationalizes the meat industry. Because after all, we've been reading for years that cows cause global warming, climate change. It causes something. Certainly causes cow flop. They change it every few months now, because apparently we're in a global cooling phase, so we've been warning you for years. The phone number is 1-800-449-8255. I don't know if I really want to talk about politics anymore. I am so bored about all of this that I think we should do is play clip 21 for the moment. Just play 21.
That's no socialist system can be established without a political police. Many of those who are advocating socialism or voting socialist today will be horrified at this idea. That is because they are short-sighted. That is because they do not see where their theories are leading them. No socialist government conducting the entire life and industry of the country could afford to allow free, sharp, or violently worded expressions of public discontent. They would have to fall back on some form of Gestapo.
Free, sharp, or violently stated opinions of public dissent. That's what talk radio specializes in. Free, sharp, violently worded expressions of discontent. That's exactly why the money changer, the billionaire money changer, has funded this Gestapo called Media Matters, who is trying to destroy Michael Savage. Next, they're going to come for the others, but today it's me. They're exactly the Gestapo that Winston Churchill warned us against, in my opinion. And that's why I have been chosen. So it's when I run into the occasional U.S. Marine that I know why I fight. It's when I run in looking into the eyes of the young men who are actually out in the field of combat that I see the face of America. It's not in the face of the deviant. It's not in the face of the silent vermin who sit and listen to the show and distort my words. They're not the Americans that I fight for. They're not even Americans. They're some kind of sub-creature, some kind of worm that has wormed its way into the apple of America. What would you like to talk about on the Savage Nation? Any topic is fair game. I'm getting calls from Houston, Modesto, Tucson, Virginia, New York, and Kansas City. I want Los Angeles. I want San Francisco. I want Chicago. I want Florida. Florida. Let's go to New York, WOR. Mark, go ahead, please. What's on your mind?
Dr. Savage, thank you so much. On Friday, President Obama announced a position in the cabinet for cyber czar, and my fear is...
That's right. Well, notice all the word, the czar. What's the czar business? Just the word czar should scare Americans. What's all this czar? That means that they're not answerable to our Congress. They're only answerable to the dictator-in-chief, Obama.
Well, he hasn't announced the cabinet person yet, but my fear is in like China, where the country routinely screens people's emails, that this will be another computer Gestapo position.
That's exactly right. But listen, the word czar. Why do we need another czar? Why is this person not going to go through the nomination process along the lines of Judge Sotomayor, where we can find out who they are and what they've done in the past? Why should we allow him to appoint another fascist, or a potential fascist, that is, to an office, and that fascist reports only to him? That's the work of a dictator.
It's got to go through
I'm tired of it all. I don't care. Why do I care? I'd rather eat sausage and peppers, that's all, and get a blowout, and it'll be gone. Figure in a couple of hundred years, no one will know anyone. Do you realize that everyone listening to the show will be dead in 100 years or thereabouts? Do you understand that we're all in the same boat right now? That's why I say eat your sausage and pepper
Savage.
And get back to me. Living well is the best revenge, and the socialist administration under Obama has now taken over General Motors. They claim that they don't want to own it, but they own it. And they're going to produce an Obama-mobile that nobody will buy, very much along the line of what was tried in Eastern Europe. It'll be a junk car that nobody wants, designed by men like Barney Frank and men who have never changed the spark plug. It's astounding to me this is going on in front of our eyes. It's the greatest theft in the history of the world. First, it was the banks. Now it's the automobile industry. I have no doubt that soon it will be the media in one way or another, either bailing out the newspapers or in some other form of control by this despotic administration, which is why I'm eating more meat than ever before it's outlawed and banned, before they ban sausage and pepper sandwiches. Also, I must tell you, the socialist administration is having other effects upon me. I'm trying to relax in different ways I haven't relaxed in years, so... I went fishing yesterday for the first time in ages. I mean, I swear to God, I went into a bait and tackle store to buy a fishing rod because the halibut are running here in San Francisco Bay. And I figured out, you know, I got a 20-foot boat that I like, a little cabin on it. And I want to go out. I see these guys trolling for fish. So I figured, you know what, let me try it. So I go into this bait shop. Nicest guy in the world is in the bait shop. So I say, all right, here's a rod, $338. Before it was through, it was like $400. I said, you know, he was a nice guy. I said to him, you think of how many halibut dinners I could buy for this. He said, I know. So I bought the rod, and he said, well, what are you fishing for? I said, halibut. All right. He says, well, you need this kind of – you want live bait or do you want – I don't know. Give me a lure. I remember lures from when I was a kid. So he sells me this beautiful lure. You want a one-pound or a two-pound sinker? I don't know. I said, I don't know. He said, well, try a one-pound, then take a – so to make a long story short – he hooks it up for me, put it in the car, go down to the boat, go out in the water, establish the fishing rod into that sprocket that they hold that they have right on the back of the boat. I do have a fishing license. Another thing, the fishing license was $14 for a day. The government bureaucrats, these petty punks, these thieves who do nothing but push papers, get $13 for a single fishing license for a single day. I couldn't believe it. I mean, it's not that I'm a poor man, but I couldn't believe it. A man can't throw a rod in the water and catch a fish without some communist taking a piece of his hide before he even catches a fish? That's the world I live in. I didn't catch anything, I must tell you. In fact, I lost the hook, the line, and the sinker. But that's a whole other story. But all right, look, I'm not going to cry over spilled milk. Because dragging a set of lures along the bottom of a sandy bay has its own risk. I mean, the lures can catch, and apparently mine caught on something. And I had to cut the line the first day I was out fishing. Well, the funny part is I haven't fished in over 50 years. The last I went fishing was when I was a little kid. People didn't even know. I was an avid fisherman in rivers up in upstate New York. I loved it. We fished for trout. I even caught a number of catfish. I don't know what we did with them. I think we threw them back in. I used to love fishing, but you get older, you go on to other things. But anyway, I'm just trying to find new ways to, pass a few hours and get my mind off the news and the evil government that has emerged in the United States of America. And I will call it evil. I am so sick and tired of hearing that Obama's a nice man with a big heart. I am so tired of the propaganda. I am so sick and tired of hearing how benevolent he is. I believe the man is a naked dictator. And I believe that every day my fears are coming true. And if you don't believe it, it's because you're an ignorant individual who doesn't know history. So what would you like to talk about? Fishing, meatballs, Obama, discrimination? Any topic is fair game. Let's go to Los Angeles. Luger, KGIL. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Dr. Savage, I love your show. This is Luger here. It's on Friday when I got a little tired that I started to realize, just like you, I'm getting sick and tired of being worn out by all this yucky crap happening to freedom. And when I heard you talking about it today, I thought, you know, I really want to call Michael and just tell him, you know what, I think this is like a ploy to just drag us down and tire us out. And eventually a lot of people will just give up.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. That's correct. That's right. And the propaganda has never been greater than right now. This glorification of this unknown social worker from Chicago has reached a fever pitch. They've already it's incomprehensible that they're turning this man into such a genius. Can you name one thing that Obama has done that has been successful?
Giving money to international abortions, murder.
Well, I don't want to talk about that right now. What I want to talk about is the fact that the man has never held a job in his life. Why is he going to Egypt this week to apologize again to the Muslim world? Can anyone answer that one to me? Well, what's he apologizing for? San Francisco, KNEW. Richard, welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
Yeah, Michael. I'm getting ticked off with this reverse discrimination stuff. First, you've got the firefighters in New Haven, Connecticut. Then you've got Justice Sotomayor. And then you've got the three new Black Panthers standing in front of the polling place with clubs saying it's time for the black man to rule, you white crackers. You know, and then charges are dropped. Eric Holder doesn't do anything about it. And I'm getting sick and tired.
Eric Holder did something about it. He found out that the Black Panthers, who stood outside a polling place with clubs, were allowed to stand outside a polling place with clubs because they're black. So Eric Holder did his job.
And if I may, I got one more thing. This is the nail in the coffin on Justice Sotomayor. As you know,
what if three white men had stood outside a polling place in a black neighborhood with clubs and said it's time for the white man to rule in this country? Tell me what would have happened. Do you think Eric Holder would have found them not guilty?
No, they would have been imprisoned right away.
Well, many people think that this government should be in prison.
Well, if I may, Michael, as you know, Justice Sotomayor is a member of La Raza, and a lot of people know of La Raza, but they don't know what the founder of La Raza said, and his name is Jose Angel Gutierrez. He said, we have an aging white America. They are dying. They're in their pants with fear. I love it. We're a new Mestizo nation. We've got to eliminate the gringo, and what I mean by that is if worse comes to worse, we've got to kill him.
That's very heartening. That's nice, heartening. Those are nice, heartening words. That's what we need is a judge from an extremist group like that.
No, appellate judge can join.
Well, of course, the left. If you notice what the white liberals, though, are saying about Sotomayor, don't you? Have you noticed how they're getting on hands and knees braying how wonderful she is?
Correct. Yes.
Yes. Yes. As they're led into the psychic gas chamber, they're on their hands and knees saying how wonderful it is to be crawling into the gas chamber of to their own death. Thanks for the call. Metaphorically, of course. I do have to explain that. Oh, let us see what else we have. GM, libel suit against Smith, the 31-year-old punk in charge of General Motors who couldn't change a spark plug. Anything else? Let's see what else we have in the news here. Obama's speech to offer personal commitment to Muslims. President Obama will offer a personal commitment to bridge U.S. differences with Muslims in his long-awaited speech to the Islamic world next week in Egypt. I wonder what that means. Why is he always going to a Muslim country and apologizing? Ask whether Chairman Obama would meet with Egyptian political dissidents during his visit. Aides said that people from across the political spectrum would be invited to the speech. Yeah, right. Obama, who lived for several years as a child in mainly Muslim Indonesia and traces part of his ancestry to a Muslim family in Kenya. Funny how it's all coming out now. This is funny because we weren't allowed to even say this during the campaign. Really, would you think that's all true? Well, now it's being glorified and shown that it was true. Even John McMoran said it wasn't true. He said, oh, but sure, don't say that. Traces answers you to a Muslim family, can you will open a trip next Wednesday in Saudi Arabia, holding talks on Middle East peace, Iran, terrorism, and other issues with King Abdullah. The next day, he'll visit Cairo and give a speech and talk with President Hosni Mubarak, who canceled a visit to Washington this week because of the death of his grandson. Obama then heads to Germany, will stay in the former East German city of Dresden, hold talks with Angela Merkel, and visit the former Nazi death camp at Buchenwald. Now, why is he going to Dresden? I will tell you why he's going to Dresden. Obama's going to Dresden to apologize to the German people for the firebombing of Dresden. He will then say that the Allied pilots were war criminals, most of whom were dead. In other words, he is again going to apologize to another country for something that was done 60 or 70 years ago. What you don't know about Dresden, there are so many things you don't know about Dresden that you're going to find out later on in the show, but let me give you a thumbnail sketch. Are you aware that the Nazis firebombed London? No, you're not aware of that. Are you aware that the Nazis had firebombed Rotterdam? You're not aware of that. But you are aware that the Allies firebombed Dresden, aren't you? Because the socialists have wanted you to hate your military. The revisionist historians wanted you to hate your military. They didn't tell you the Nazis firebombed London, that they had firebombed Holland. They told you none of that. What you also don't know is that Dresden, in addition to being a beautiful old German city, was also home to thousands of manufacturing plants that were part and parcel of the Nazi war machine. Just as the Japanese had thousands of suppliers of parts for their military machine throughout Nagasaki. In other words, they did exactly what the PLO did, exactly what Hamas does, exactly what Hezbollah does, which is they hide their factories in open air next to civilian areas, schools, playgrounds, hospitals, in order to make their enemy incapable of bombing their war machine. That's why Dresden was chosen. But you won't hear that when Obama gives his speech next week in Dresden, I can guarantee you. All you're going to hear is that we apologize for destroying this beautiful German city. I'll be right back. Savage. Yes. Joe, do you mind if I read this? He says, I know you know this, but I was just listening to the first hour and it hit me again. The sausage and peppers, the $13 fishing license, the bolognese sauce. He said it all worked together so well, I almost got into a car accident. It was so good. Joe, trust me, I didn't plan any of it. My head is foggy today. I can't focus. I don't know what it is, a combination of events. So I figured, you know, when I get in these moods where my head is feels like there's cotton in it, and I'm really not that focused because I am so bored with politics that I could literally stop talking. I could take a vow of silence. You know, wait, before I forget this topic, I know a wealthy man who's giving money away right now, and he's looking to give money to nuns. He spent a week, he had his assistants looking for a nunnery in San Francisco, like a retirement fund for nuns, not to be confused with general funds to the Catholic Church, which he won't do. He specifically wants to give money to a nunnery in San Francisco for the sisters to retire. He can't find it. They won't even return his call. So if you are a nun or know a nun or know of a nunnery that has a 501c3, would you call 1-800-449-8255 and give your information to my producers, and I'll turn it over to the millionaire who wants to fund them.
If I were a rich man.
No, yeah.
All day long I'd biddy-biddy bum if I were a wealthy man.
All right, turn it off already. $13 fishing license. I can't believe that these bums, these faceless, useless, state-working bums who spend about 12 minutes a day doing something and the rest of the day looking at internet pornography or trading stocks on their computer, have the nerve to charge $13 for a single day's fishing in San Francisco Bay. How could an average man take this? How could a man, a poor man, go out and... what if he had to go out and catch a fish for a living? Who ever heard of a country like this that you have to buy a fishing license? Now, where does that money go? Where does that $13 go? Tell me why the state needs that $13 so they could pay for the health care of illegal aliens? Maybe it was the sausage and peppers that clouded my brain. There's a lot of truth to the light diet and focus, but I'm tired of being focused. Because when I grew up, I ate steak and French fries every night till I left my mother's house. Every night, meat for breakfast, meat for lunch, meat for dinner. If there was any truth to the fact that it was cholesterol alone, I would have been dead at 12. It's not just that. You know, don't be obsessed with this cholesterol that your doctors have sold you on. Utter rubbish. All diseases are multifactorial, including heart disease. We know genetics are one component to a greater or lesser extent, depending upon the individual. We know the environment is the largest component outside of genetics. And then I keep telling you that there's a mysterious component to all illnesses, the unknown. It's not all nailed down. When I was in graduate school, my doctoral committee was made up of very, very smart men. And one of them was a medical doctor as well as a PhD who said to me that he's done many in an autopsy where the victim was young and their arteries were completely clear and they died of a heart attack. I said, thank you very much. I'm going out to the Avenue to have a drink after work. I mean, you know, there's a certain point, which is, stop it already. Stop obsessing that you control your own mortality to the nth degree, because you don't. You understand that? So here it is. Would you have believed that you'd reach a point in American history where the great General Motors would be taken over by the U.S. government and busted out as though the mafia took it over? I have to reiterate again. What Obama is doing is exactly what was done to the sporting goods store in that segment of The Sopranos. Now, those of you who don't watch it have to know what it is. The Sopranos on HBO. One of the segments a few years ago, in it, there was a man who owned a very large sporting goods store who was a degenerate gambler. And he gets involved in a very big gambling game with Soprano, who's his friend from the neighborhood, and he says, look, I don't want you to come in here, John, because you're going to get hurt. He says, no, I have to. So he goes in there, and he gambles, and he loses a lot of money. Then they put him into the vigorish business, where he's paying 13% a week or whatever, I don't know what it is, on the principal, which means he can never get out of debt. So before long, this gang moves into his store. He's now basically working for them. They're selling out. They're stealing the sunglasses. You name it, they're taking... they're ordering stuff on his credit and taking it out of the store and selling it on the street. Then eventually they're buying airline tickets on his credit, first class tickets, whole blocks of them, giving them to friends and selling them at a reduced rate. Until eventually the store is emptied out. The man who had owned it is now sleeping in a tent in the store because he's ashamed to go home. And the store is busted out. And he says to Tony Soprano at the end, he says, why'd you do this to me, Tony? And Tony looks at him, he says, because that's my business. That's what I do for a living. Now, if you don't see that this administration is exactly like Tony Soprano in a different face, but it's a gangster-like regime that's running America. They rewarded the gangsters on Wall Street. Every company on Wall Street that should have been bankrupted was saved, and every company on Wall Street that shouldn't have been bankrupt went out of business. Do you understand what went on? It was the greatest thievery in American history. But that's not enough for a gang. Don't you understand that? They get so greedy with the amount of money they've robbed that they want more. They get so greedy with the power they've aggrandized that they want more power. You take a low-life bum like Bonnie Frank, a tenth-rate stooge of the lowest order, and you get a man like this suddenly in charge of financial services in America, a man who's never, ever made a dime in his life, a man who's never met a payroll. You take a low-life bum like Bonnie Frank and you give him this much power, what do you think he's going to do with it? That low-life criminal bum is going to try and get more power. That's exactly why General Motors is bankrupt today. That is my soliloquy on the death of a great, great, great enterprise. It may as well be the death of America itself. Obama has put a knife in the heart of America's, one of America's greatest corporations. Do you believe that you'd actually wake up to see this day? Can you believe it? It would be as though you wake up one day and you hear that the U.S. military is now out of business because it went bankrupt. And the U.S. government has asked the Chinese government to step in and run the U.S. military because they're no longer able to run it. You say, ah, come on, that's crazy. That could never happen. Anything can happen under this regime. Anything can happen under this regime. Anything can happen under this regime. This man, Obama, is a dictator. This man, Obama, is a dangerous dictator, in my opinion. This man, Obama, must be called out for what he is and what he is doing. Now you understand why Michael Savage has been targeted by his friends in the socialist government of England.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Domino on Blue Monday, we are talking about the naked Marxist, Barack Hussein Obama, the Marxist administration of Obama, busting out General Motors as though it's a sporting goods store. And anything else I talked about, turn it off already. 1-800-449-8255. You know what it is? I had to get up very early to do a BBC interview on it. I think that's what knocked off my timing. Why I'm tired. I'm very foggy today. This is a very difficult discipline, talk radio, if it's done right. And I have a whole pattern and a way to do it. And I really don't waste any of my energy during the day. It's very, very scheduled, very organized, because every day is going into the mental arena, and you have to be ready for it. Today I had to do an early interview. It went well, and she asked me a question. Well, we'll play it tomorrow, the whole interview. It's actually going to air tonight. Midnight, 8 a.m. British time tomorrow morning on a morning show, and we'll run it tomorrow on the Savage Nation. You'll judge for yourself. because this is a huge story. Four articles came out over the weekend about, you know, my case to set my record clear and my name, to free, you know, clear up my name in England and all of that. She asked me at the end the funny question, the interviewer on BBC. She said, would you consider coming to England? I said, yes, when my name is cleared and the Conservative government is swept in and they invite me to give a speech before Parliament, I'll be happy to. And then, you know, I thought about something. Most people in America and in England don't even know the following factoid about Michael Savage, and it's very important, and it just dawned on me today. All the years that I was a plant collector, and I was a plant collector for years, I don't mean like Obama, that kind of plant collector. He collects plants and sells them to China or destroys them. I'm talking about plants, you know, living plants, not factories. All those years I collected plants, medicinal plants, for posterity and saved them in herbarium specimens. One of my collections is in the Kew Gardens in England. I have an entire collection of rare specimens housed in England. It dawned on me just today. And I don't even think that they knew that in the BBC, because you don't even know it, is that I have them all. It's a very important point to scientists, but I wouldn't expect it to resonate with people who watch American Idol and look at girls with lip balm and short skirts on Fox News. 1-800-449-8255, Michael, Los Angeles. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, Michael, I just think that you're upset about Barack Obama because Barack Obama, and for people like you, he cares about people that make less than $250,000 a year. You're a fat cat, you make millions a year, and you could give a care about the average American.
Well, hold on, let's slow down. How much money did you give away last year?
How much money did I give away last year?
Yeah, it's a pretty clear question. How much did you give away out of your own pocket last year?
I give at Christmas, and I give at other times, and I help.
Well, I gave away more than you earned last year, okay, to charity. That's number one. Number two, did I take the money from you?
Buddy?
The money that I earned, did I take it from you?
Yeah. What charity did you give it to? Some conservative group that's going to, you know, distort the facts about.
Well, no, you're wrong, Putz. Putz, you're wrong. I'm soon going to post all the charities that I give money to, so little men like you can learn. The garbage that comes out of your mouth is just garbage. I am so sick and tired of losers like you telling people like me who've struggled all their lives to achieve something that I took it off your back. I took nothing from you. The fact of the matter is you can't make it on your own, so you want Big Brother to steal it from men like me.
Jackie Smith, hooray. Hooray to Jackie Smith.
Well, that's right, because you're a little Nazi. You're a little Nazi who wants a gun. What do you do for a living, big man? Hey, Michael, big man, what do you do for a living?
What do I do? I work in sales.
You work in sales? What do you sell, Michael? What company do you work for? Who built that company that you work for, Michael? You didn't build it. You talk like a schmuck who doesn't even know the first thing about capitalism. Of course a schmuck like you wants socialism, because you'll never amount to anything without a government giving it to you.
You're just a pup of the right wing.
Yeah, right, Michael. Hey, Michael, have you ever met a payroll, Michael?
Yes, I have.
No, you never met a payroll. You know you never have. And you know you never gave a dime to charity.
Well, I had a construction company.
You own nothing, you loser, you. You own nothing, you jealous loser. Virginia, Lisa, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Michael Savage, you are brilliant. And I can tell you this, that I can't hold the match that lights the candle to you, so I can't talk politics with you. But what I can do is I can tell you how pissed off I am as one little person in this country for having to foot the bill of some jackass in Washington that wants to take his wife out to dinner and a show.
But wait a minute now. Obama's a man of the little people. He needed Air Force One to take him to a Broadway show.
And
he needed to show Broadway to his wife.
So far in debt, all I need is to take him out to dinner with his wife. And you know what? I want him to know that the last time that I
Lisa,
went out.
Lisa, please. This is the first couple. And they need to step out. And they need to go out and have a good time because they're under so much pressure busting out America's corporations.
That's right. And how many times has she gone up to New York in these private planes and spent more of my tax dollars to cut freaking ribbons on the museum? Give me a break.
I really, you know what? I have nothing to say about that. I'm not a fan of the Obamas. I think they're imposters, the both of them. I think that this is a thrown election from the beginning, and I blame the Republicans for it. If you think that I don't, you're mistaken. George Bush greased the skids for Obama to become president. I warned you 6 months before Bush was out of office. I warned you repeatedly that you ain't seen nothing yet. And unfortunately, I was right. George Bush took the nation down, broke the economy, was spending like a madman. And I was saying it a year and a half ago. I said he's a fiscal socialist. Remember, I called Bush a fiscal socialist. Many of you attacked me for it. I warned you what was going to happen. I told you it was an insupportable government. What he was doing was unsupportable. It could not hold. And so at the end of the road, look what we have. We have an imposter, a social worker from Chicago who has never met a payroll in his life, who has taken a $1 trillion debt and run it into a $3 trillion debt in 1 year. We have a dollar that fundamentally is being propped up that's a false dollar, a dollar that has almost no value. It has no standard whatsoever other than the military. And it's thank God that we even have a military. Unfortunately, the military isn't able to do the job it was set to do. I'll be right back. You know, that last caller cleared the fog out of my head. I realize what the enemies of freedom are and how they sound. And they're all fascists. Yay, Jackie Smith, he says. He is a man who considers himself a progressive liberal who's saying he loves fascism. He loves a country that bans free speech. And moreover, I want to say to you that there was an article over the weekend in the Wall Street Journal entitled Millionaires Go Missing that I'd like to report on here on the Savage Nation. Last year, Maryland couldn't balance its budget. So the state tried to close the shortfall by fleecing the wealthy. Politicians in Annapolis, Maryland, created a millionaire tax bracket, raising the top marginal income tax rate to 6.25%. Now, here in California, it's over 10%, by the way, which is why the state is bankrupt. The millionaires fled Maryland, just as millionaires are fleeing California. The Baltimore Sun predicted that the rich would, quote, grin and bear it, and that more money would come in, because newspapers are written by losers, as you well know, by and large. Low-earning socialists who couldn't do anything else for a living, so they became journalists. 1 year after raising taxes on the rich, nobody's grinning. Why? One-third of the millionaires have disappeared from Maryland tax rolls. In 2008, there were 3,000 millionaire income tax returns. This year, there were 2,000. And so, of those missing tax returns, the government collects 6.25% of nothing. Instead of the state coffers gaining the extra $106 million that the liberal politicians predicted, millionaires actually paid $100 million less in taxes than they did last year, even at higher rates. Why? Because they left the state. They moved out of the state. Marylanders moved to Florida, Delaware, South Carolina, and Virginia. They changed their residency. And so the burden of paying for bloated government in Maryland fell on the middle class. And thanks to the futility of soaking the rich, these working families will now pay the, quote, fair share that the liberal socialists try to get from the millionaires. There's another article that just came out from the Niagara Falls Reporter by Tom Golisano called Why I'm Leaving New York. And he said, I love New York, but how much should it cost to call New York home? Decades of out-of-control budgets, spending increases, and relentless borrowing have made New York simply too expensive. So he said, last week I spent 90 minutes doing a couple of simple things, registering to vote, changing my driver's license, filling out a domicile certificate, and signing a homestead certificate in Florida. Combined with spending 184 days a year outside New York, these simple procedures will save me over $5 million in New York taxes annually. Did you hear that? That's in state taxes alone. And he says that savings doesn't include that Florida has a 6% sales tax compared to New York's 8% or more. And he goes on to talk about how the top 1% of earners account for 50% of state revenue. Did you hear that? Losers like the caller from Los Angeles. The top 1% of earners account for 50% of state revenue. And when you tax them too much, they leave the state. And the burden then falls upon those in the lower than $200,000 bracket, maybe down to the $50,000 bracket. Anyway, that writer says, it's not an easy decision, but I'm being forced away from my family and friends. A pain shared by too many parents and grandparents in the state of New York. He says, I'm leaving. And by domiciling in Florida, I will personally save $13,800 every single day. Every single day. He said, that's a pretty strong incentive. Like I said, I love New York, but I'm not going to pay New York more for the waste, corruption, and inefficiency that is New York state government. Thanks, Tom Golisano. The same is true about California under the strudel head, Arnold Schwarzenegger. Arnold Schwarzenegger was a fraud from day one. I called him a fraud from day one. I saw through the fraud from day one. I knew he was a Terminator strudel head from day one. I knew the Terminator rhino was a large, primitive-looking mammal that used his protruding interior horn for horning in on any number of things for which he is neither equipped nor qualified. I'm reading now from The Political Zoo by Michael Savage, another one of my bestsellers that I wrote a few years ago. The indigenous habitat of this thick-necked animal has been severely threatened, but successful rhino reintroduction programs have been established in political reserves in California, New York, Maine, and even Rhode Island in order to replenish the American herd. This particular rhino has been the subject of many films and documentaries in which the awkward beast utters unintelligible catchphrases before sending its enemies to quick and gruesome deaths, while disappointed audiences beg for the same sweet release. The rhino is almost always in heat and on occasion in red heat. And that's about Arnold Schwarzenegger, Terminator Strudelhead from The Political Zoo. So don't think I didn't see it from a while ago. I did. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. Where have all the millionaires gone? They've left your state. Millionaires have gone missing in Maryland. They've gone missing in California. And if Arnold Schwarzenegger and the gangsters who run this state don't stop it, they're going to lose 20% of the top earners out of the state. And the burden will then fall upon people with a gross income of $100,000 a year. And then when they leave, it'll fall upon those with a gross income of $50,000 a year until eventually the people revolt altogether. I could straighten out the state's budget in approximately 1 year. You want to know how? How come you never heard one politician? Let's take California. $40 billion, $30 billion, $80. They don't know how much, what deficit they have. The truth is they don't know. But let's take any round number, $40 billion. Well, let's start with health care for illegal aliens. You put a highway patrolman outside every hospital in the state of California. You either show state residency or you do not enter. Now, of course, in a catastrophic illness, you have to provide the care. But no longer will you be treating common colds, sore throats, this quirk, that quirk. They will not get the treatment if they're illegal aliens or not a state resident. Again, I want to repeat, if it's an emergency, and I mean a real emergency, not a runny nose or a sore throat or something like that, the state would save between $15 to $18 billion a year immediately just on medical care that's being provided to non-citizens. Now let's go into the schools. English as a second language? Excuse me? When my ancestors came over here, they didn't speak English. In order to go to school, they had to learn English. They sat in the back of the class feeling embarrassed, humiliated, red-faced. In other words, they did what every immigrant group did in the history of this country. They forced themselves through immersion to learn the language. Some of them thrived and some of them did not. There was no English as a second language. They didn't have teachers in 80 languages from Europe for the immigrants that came over. They had to learn English to become an American citizen. And voting. What about voting? Do you know in the San Francisco area, there are ballots in 15 or 18 languages? Now, why do you think the illegitimate, corrupt socialist politicians who run this city and state want ballots in so many languages? That's because if the ballots were only in English, the language of the land, socialists like them would not be elected. Because most people who speak English can read English. And most people who can read English understand plain English. And in plain English, they understand a gangster when he's a gangster, even if he wears a suit and wears a tie. Or even if he wears a skirt and goes to China when he gets caught attacking the CIA. And by the way, where is Nancy Pelosi? Where is Nancy Pelosi? How come she hasn't surfaced yet from a visit to Beijing? We do hope that she hasn't applied for citizenship. We know she attacked the CIA and her handlers told her to get out of the country as fast as possible. Where is Nancy Pelosi? Has there been a sighting?
Savage.
So, Mr. and Mrs. Obama go to Broadway for a show. Nothing unusual about that. But the cost is about $75,000 to you. That's for three private jets, two helicopter rides, extra planes for security, and closing the roads of New York for a motorcade. Now you say, well, what's so unusual about it? Well, we're living in unusual times. People are out of work. He could have gone to a theater in Washington, D.C., right? Why would he go to New York? Why would this man do this at this time? Don't you think it's too extravagant? I do. The president promised his wife a night out once the election was over, went on the campaign trail last year. Well, but he's not an ordinary guy. Cost the city about $65,000 to $75,000 in transport and security costs because he took her to the theater in New York. Used three planes, one to carry the couple, two to ferry aides and reporters all the way from Washington. The cost of each flight was thought to be about $25,000. Then there were two helicopters, one to take the Obamas to catch their plane in Washington, another to zip the party into Manhattan from JFK Airport, and police shut down New York streets for the motorcade to pass through so they could get to their date on time. And the question is, don't you think this is a little extravagant in a time like this? I mean, if Obama wants to go to the theater, isn't the presidential box at the Kennedy Center good enough? Don't you think this is rather extravagant at a time when American car giant GM was plunged into bankruptcy? He wings into Manhattan's theater district on a Gulfstream, and then 2 days later he says GM is now bankrupt? Something is wrong with the picture to everybody except the socialist, progressive, fascist left. 1-800-449-8255, Great Falls, Montana. Candace, go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation.
Yes, thank you, Dr. Michael. Everything that Barack Obama does is extremely calculated. It has been from the get-go, even way before his election.
Candace, hold on. Let's slow down. That's true for anyone who's the president. They have handlers who tell them what to do, what to say, how to dress, how to walk, how to talk. So what is it about your observation that is somewhat new?
I guess I would say the first most impressive, but not in a good way, is when he gave his speech in Germany. It was a campaign speech, and it was.
Look, we know that Obama is an imposter. We know that Obama is a dictator. We know that Obama is busting out America. But what else is new? We know all of this. We know that he screwed the people by saying hope and change when he brought us the most corrupt government in American history. San Francisco, KNEW, Dan, welcome to the program.
Hey, yes, Mr. Savage. I just wanted to let you know that I work at a major medical center here in the San Francisco Bay Area, Berkeley, California. It's the most liberal place, and it's the most oppressive place.
Oh, yeah.
I listen to you every day on the way home.
Dan, you're saying that liberals can be oppressive, but I thought that they were liberated.
Yeah, they're liberated, all right. It reminds me of that song back in the 60s, you know, signs everywhere, signs, you know, talking about people, breaking my mind. This guy's, you know, it's
so what goes on in the medical facility where you work?
Medical facility that I work in. I come in the morning, and I'm not kidding you. There is probably a dozen to two dozen illegal, I can't say illegal for sure, but there's at least a dozen to two dozen people sitting there, a mother and a father, all pregnant, and there's a woman standing up, and she's, of course, you know, Berkeley, the whole thing, Birkenstocks, the purple dress, the whole thing.
Oh, God, no, what, and she's their advocate, demanding health care?
Oh, yeah. She's talking in Spanish to them. She's telling them exactly where they're going to be going, who's going to be taking care of them, how they're going to get paid for it.
Well, as I say, if Schwarzenegger was a real governor, he would govern. He'd put a highway patrolman outside every medical clinic in the state. He would not provide any medical care to illegal aliens. That would save between $15 to $18 billion a year in the state alone. That could be done with the stroke of a pen. The only reason Schwarzenegger won't do it is because they're all afraid of La Raza.
That's right. And here's the other thing.
Now, why should they be afraid of a brown separatist organization? Can anyone explain that to me? I mean, a separatist organization is a separatist organization no matter what the race is. A supremacist organization is a supremacist organization no matter what it is. La Raza is by definition both a separatist and a supremacist organization. There's no mystery to me. Okay? 1-800-449-8255. San Francisco again. KNEW. Ray, go ahead, please.
Well, thank you, Dr. Savage. First, I just wanted to say thank you for opening my eyes to just a lot of issues I would have been ignorant of. And for people who say that, you know, Obama's taking from the, you know, the people who make $250,000 or more, well, look, I make about $100,000 a year between my wife and I combined. We're homeowners. We pay our bills on time. I'm an ex-Marine. I'm a dad. And I'm qualified for nothing from the government because I pay my bills on time. If I stop paying my bills today, all of a sudden now I qualify for government programs. So anybody like that caller a few times back who was accusing you of just hating Obama because you make a lot of money is basically full of crap.
Absolutely. That's because he wishes he could make a lot of money, but he hasn't the skill nor the drive to do so. The fact of the matter is that those of us who have been fortunate enough to work all of our lives to make some money, we don't really want to see our money stolen from us by these gangsters in the government who give it away to illegal aliens and to their own cronies on Wall Street, in plain English. You know, you drive around San Francisco. Here's a city that rapes the tax structure day and night. You have broken streets, potholes. You have bums in the street. You have dirt. You have litter. The streets are filthy. The streets are filthy and broken. Where does the money go? Where does this incredible budget from San Francisco go? I'll give you a hint. We have an outgoing police chief named Heather Fong, the superb police chief. You may remember her, the one whose hat didn't fit on her head, the woman who did not qualify for a pistol license for 2 years. Heather Fong will retire with a pension of approximately $240,000 a year for the rest of her life. There are people earning well over $100,000 a year in pensions in this city. Do you think the state can afford it? These grotesque pensions in the city and state of San Francisco and the state of California? No, they're unsupportable. What we need is a clean sweep in the state and in the country. We need a vigorous capitalist candidacy. We need a new party system, a party that stands for sweeping out the old, a real reformist party, a party that says we're going to renegotiate every pension for every state bureaucracy in the land except the military. We're going to renegotiate everything that was done under Obama. In other words, we're going to free the people once and for all. We're going to free them, finally free them from the socialist grip. I have to reiterate again that all of this is old news. The only thing new about Obama's brand of socialism is that he's getting away with it without any true vocal opposition, with the exception of a few people in talk radio and the occasional writer in the press. But by and large, the man is a pure, unadulterated Marxist. Everything he is doing is communist. Everything he has done is out of the communist playbook. You say it's absurd because you thought that if a communist came, he'd be screaming and yelling and wearing an armband with a red star on it, or he'd be wearing a Little Mao jacket or a blue uniform with a red star. It doesn't happen that way anymore. The man is doing it in open sight. And it's only the beginning of what's liable to happen unless millions of us voice a big, loud no to Obama. Because what's coming soon will go to the heart of our very freedoms themselves. Again, you say, well, am I making it up? No, you have to study socialism around the world, and you'll come to understand that in all socialist countries, free opinion, free speech dies. They use thought control. They use a form of Gestapo. They do not want diverse opinion. They stop criticism as it begins. All the power is in the hands of the bureaucrats. The servants who are called civil servants are not civil, and they're not servants. They are dictators. That is what's happening right in front of your eyes. Again, I have to reiterate what happened today, the General Motors bankruptcy. They took a 31-year-old nobody who has never, ever run an automobile anything, and he is now being given the job. He's been given the job to dismantle General Motors. You say, how could this be? How is it possible? The guy never changed a tire. The guy probably couldn't change a spark plug. And yet, this man that Obama has picked is now running General Motors. You say, why is that? How is that possible? How did he get away with it? The answer is this 31-year-old is a stooge. He's a stooge of Larry Summers. Who was Larry Summers? He's the silent, fat, white guy who stands behind the stage with Obama every time Obama gives another economic speech. This fat, white guy, Larry Summers, was the Treasury Secretary under Bill Clinton. This fat, white guy, Larry Summers, is the man who is overseeing the bust out of General Motors. This fat, white guy, Larry Summers, is the very same man who, after he left the Treasury Department, was given millions and millions of dollars in speaker fees by the very companies on Wall Street that were then bailed out. It goes on and on and on. It is as corrupt as any banana republic ever was. It is happening in plain sight. If you'd like to talk about that, the phone number is 1-800-449-8255. I'll be right back. It's the Savage Nation. Savage. As we swing into the last segment of this hour, I have more bad news for you. There was a shooting in Little Rock outside a U.S. Army recruitment office. A guy drove up in a black SUV and began shooting. One of the people who was shot was killed. He was a soldier. What you don't know, and you won't read in tomorrow's newspaper, is that the murderer is Abdul Hakim Mujahid Muhammad, a Muslim convert, 24 years old. Also goes by the name of Carlos Bledsoe. So the Muslim convert is the alleged shooter. His name is Abdul Hakim Mujahid Muhammad. And Muhammad led police on a brief pursuit towards downtown Little Rock before being taken into custody in the area of I-30. Authorities searched his car, and they found an assault rifle. A bomb squad was called in, as police were concerned about two bags in the vehicle, but no explosives were found. The gunman obviously targeted the military. They say the police said that Muhammad acted alone and carried, quote, political and religious motives. You won't read that in your newspaper tomorrow because your local newspaper has become a worthless rag. A worthless rag that tells you nothing. But down in Little Rock, they know who did the shooting. They know this cowardly bum drove by a military recruiting center and opened up in a drive-by and shot two enlisted soldiers standing outside the office, and one of them is dead. Instead of reading this story about the Muslim convert doing the shooting, you will hear about the other tragedy of the late-term abortionist being killed. That story will be given 6 to 9 months' play, if not a national a plaque, somewhere a national memorial, while this story will be swept under the rug by the vermin in the media. Okay, that's all. 1-800-449-8255. Orlando, Florida, Raphael, welcome to the program.
Yeah, Michael, I don't see anything wrong with President Obama wanting to take his wife to a Broadway play in New York when he promised that he would do that for her during the campaign.
Well, no, he's an honest man. It's very true. He's a very honest man. So what if it costs the taxpayer $75,000?
Well, I think it being the
president. Look, what's good for the little man is not what should apply to the president. He doesn't lead by example. He shouldn't lead by example and be frugal. He should spend wildly in order to make the little man feel good.
Wildly. I just think as the president of the United States that you...
Well, he should be able to do anything. He should be able to bust General Motors, take over financial industries. After all, he's the president of the United States. He's a dictator, right? He can do anything.
self-inflicted by General Motors. They cut their own throats with their own internal greed.
Their internal greed, you mean the unions, don't you?
Unions and the fat cats at the top who were stuffing their
pockets. No, my friend. Do you know that each car had a cost, an additional cost of $2,000 for health care and pensions that were forced upon General Motors by the United Auto Workers? You know that.
For the past 40 years?
Well, you're changing the discussion. $2,000 each car for the cost of medical care and pensions for UAW workers. That is why when the Japanese open plants in Tennessee, they're not union workers. They don't give them that those kind of health care and pension plans. That's why the cars are cheaper.
The union workers are part of General Motors, correct?
But sir, you didn't hear me. The unions bankrupted General Motors. The unions were greedy, and they broke General Motors. In fact, if you look at the GM restructuring plan, the unions came out better than anybody else. Aren't you aware of that?
Were the unions? No, I am aware of that, Michael.
All right, so at least we can agree on the fact that it was the unions that broke General Motors. Thanks for the call. That's all. We don't have to argue with everything. As my father's store had a little sign that said, "Don't go away, Mayor, just go away." That's all. Well, I don't know about you, but I've had about enough today, truthfully. I think it's time for another high-fat meal before the... I can't do it again. The bolognese sauce, the sausage and peppers. I'm ready to leave the radio studio, go home and go to sleep. You go to sleep early. How many people actually go to sleep earlier than you think? I bet you think everyone else is out every night, party. Everyone's out somewhere in a restaurant, clinking glasses, doing deals. Most people are asleep by 8:30 who work for a living. It's what I found out. Most people who actually work for a living, they're asleep 8:30, 9 o'clock. They're getting up 6 o'clock in the morning. Bureaucrats like Barney Frank can be out till 2 o'clock in the morning because he's got a lot of work to do. There are rumors circulating that now that GM has become Government Motors and Obama is now running the auto industry, that Barney Frank, who has never changed the spark plug so far as we know in his autobiography called I Changed Plugs, according to Barney Frank's autobiography, he never changed the spark plug in his life, but there are rumors circulating now that Barney Frank will be redesigning the rear end of all GM cars, since that is the angle of the car that he's most interested in. 1-800-449-8255 is the phone number, Pennsylvania. Brian, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yes, Mr. Savage. I just wanted to comment. The illegal immigration problem, I feel, is the sole source of so many economic problems. You say health care, education, incarceration. Do they pay their deportation costs? How about when they shoot our citizens?
Let's go down the list. Here's another fact that your cowardly politician won't repeat, but it is true. One out of three prisoners is an illegal alien who has come here not to work but to rape, rob, or do some other crime that he got caught for and was convicted for. Remember, even though he's incarcerated for a particular crime, it doesn't mean it's the first crime he ever committed. It's the first crime he got convicted of. 33% of all prisoners are illegal aliens. That costs billions and billions of dollars a year. They can all be deported. All the illegal alien prisoners should be deported. Look, I could go down the list. Healthcare, put a CHP officer, a highway patrolman outside every emergency room in America. No ticky, no laundry. No citizenship, no health care. We're not treating you. I'm sorry. Go back to your home country. Now, if it's an emergency, an auto accident, you've got to treat them. There's a humane reason for that. I understand that. But if it's not an out-and-out emergency, you turn them away. And you tell them that they've got to go back to their home country for the medical care. Since they have in many languages what they're entitled to, give them in many languages what they're not entitled to. That's all. Education. No English as a second language. English is the language of the land. Learn English like my parents did, like my grandparents did, like your parents did, like your grandparents did. Learn English. We don't have the money for ESL anymore. We're bankrupt. We're broke. The age of the gilded liberal education is over. The age of the gilded cage in the emergency room is over. The gilded prison cell is over. It's all over. Everything has to change. Begin by slamming the door on the 30 million illegal aliens. You will slowly recover America. Remember, speak out every day before you can no longer speak out at all.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Here are some of the things I've been talking about on The Savage Nation. Obama takes over GM. Jackie Smith digs in her high heels. And the French Connection. Plane flying from Brazil to France mysteriously disappeared. First the government said it was turbulence. Then it said it was lightning. The governments have lied so many times before, we do not really know. What really happened? We'll have to wait and see. In England, Jackie Smith digs in her high heels. Over the weekend, she dug in her stiletto heels and refused to remove my name from the list of terrorists banned from England, and I am now going to have to sue her for defamation. Already, I've done interviews with British media who are making the issue, the clips, the sound clips, in which I am taken out of context. Is there hope for England? Is there hope for free speech? A British court will soon give us the answer. Obama has taken over General Motors. GM filed for bankruptcy, and now Obama is buying another $30 billion worth of the company. We have socialist, we have a socialist government who has taken over the financial sector and the auto sector. What is next, the media? How will Obama run General Motors when he has no automotive or business experience? Do you know that he appointed a 31-year-old kid who could not change a spark plug to oversee General Motors? Sounds like a dictatorship, doesn't it? The media is trying to put one over on the American people again, but what else is new? For years I've told you that our media has become like Pravda, which means the truth in Russian. And I've told you for over a year that Obama is a naked Marxist. For 6 months I've said to you that they smeared the conservatives by calling them neocons. While they are neo-Marxists, and the phrase is not used by anyone but me, it'll be stolen now by the hemorrhoid with ears. He'll put down his chopsticks and get out the pencil. But an article just came out that I'm going to read to you in its entirety, and I never do this. And you know where it's from? Pravda. 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 Online since January 27th, 1999. This is from Russia. American capitalism gone with a whimper. It must be said that like the breaking of a great dam, the American descent into Marxism is happening with breathtaking speed against the backdrop of a passive, hapless sheeple. Excuse me, dear reader, I meant people. Now, I invented the word sheeple over 12 years ago. True, the situation has been well prepared on and off for the past century, especially the past 20 years. The initial testing grounds was conducted upon our holy Russia, and a bloody test it was. But we Russians would not just roll over and give up our freedoms and our souls, no matter how much money Wall Street poured into the fists of the Marxists. Are you listening carefully? Those lessons were taken and used to properly prepare the American populace for the surrender of their freedoms and souls to the whims of their elites and betters. Are you paying attention, schmuck? First, the population was dumbed down through a politicized and substandard education system based on pop culture rather than the classics. Americans know more about their favorite TV dramas than the drama in D.C. that directly affects their lives. They care more for their right to choke down a McDonald's burger or a Burger King burger than for their constitutional rights. Then they turn around and lecture us about our rights and about our democracy. Pride, blind, the foolish. I'm reading to you from Pravda. Now here it comes. Everything we've been telling you. Then their faith in God was destroyed until their churches, all tens of thousands of different branches and denominations, were for the most part little more than Sunday circuses, and their televangelists and top Protestant mega-preachers were more than happy to sell out their souls and flocks to be on the winning side of one pseudo-Marxist politician or another. Bravo! Their flocks may complain, but when explained that they would be on the winning side, their flocks were ever so quick to reject Christ in hopes for earthly power. Even our holy Orthodox churches are scandalously liberalized in America. The final collapse has come with the election of Barack Obama. His speed in the past 3 months has been truly impressive. His spending and money printing has been a record-setting, not just in America's short history, but in the world. If this keeps up for more than another year, and there is no sign that it will not, America at best will resemble the Weimar Republic and at worst Zimbabwe. Are you paying attention, schmucks? You morons who voted for Obama? You schmucks, you don't even know what you did here. Shall I go on? These past 2 weeks have been the most breathtaking of all. First came the announcement of a planned redesign of the American Byzantine tax system by the very thieves who used it to bankroll their thefts, losses, and swindles of hundreds of billions of dollars. These make our Russian oligarchs look little more than ordinary street thugs in comparison. Yes, the Americans have beat their own thieves in the sheer volumes. Should we congratulate them? This comes from Pravda, the place where truth hurts. Isn't it funny that we have to turn to a Russian newspaper to get the truth because of the Associated Press in America? How many months have I told you that Wall Street was filled with thieves? Obama was put in by Wall Street to reward the crooks. Goldman Sachs, in my opinion, Morgan Stanley, the bankers who bankrupted America were all given money back by the capitalist stooge in chief. I'll continue now from Pravda. These men, of course, are not an elected panel, but made up of appointees picked from the very financial oligarchs and their henchmen, who are now gorging themselves on trillions of American dollars in one bailout after another. They are also usurping the rights, duties, and powers of the American Congress. Again, Congress has put up little more than a whimper to their masters. Then came Barack Obama's command that GM's president step down from leadership of his company. That is correct, dear reader. In the land of pure free markets, the American president now has the power, the self-given power, to fire CEOs, and we can assume other employees of private companies at will. Come hither, go thither. The centurion commands his minions. So it should be no surprise that the American president has followed this up with a bold move of declaring that he and another group of unelected, chosen stooges will now redesign the entire automotive industry and will even be the guarantee of automobile policies. I am sure that if given the chance, they would happily try and redesign it for the whole of the world, too. So, read it. Read it. You liberals did it to America. You destroyed the country. Now, Churchill and socialism. You all know that Winston Churchill was the man who led England in the defeat of Nazism. In fact, he may have helped save the entire world from the menace of Hitler's Germany along with America. He alone in England held out against the Nazis after they had conquered the rest of Europe. He fought on through the dark days of the Blitz while German planes rained down hell upon London. He inspired his nation and the earth with his moving oratory and held the line until the United States joined the war. But what you may not know about him is that after the war, after he had defeated fascism, Churchill raised the alarm bells against socialism in his own country. Socialism was running rampant in England, and in the battle to keep yet another ideological enemy from his shores, he again invoked his amazing power of oratory. I want you to listen to him speak in 1945 as he describes what socialism in England would mean, because the words are true in America today.
Socialism is in its essence an attack not only upon British enterprise, but upon the right of an ordinary man or woman to breathe freely without having a harsh, clumsy, tyrannical hand clapped across their mouths and nostrils. A free parliament. Look at that. A free parliament is odious to the socialist doctrinaire.
His spending and money printing has been a record-setting not just in America's short history, but in the world. If this keeps up for one more year, and there's no sign that it will not, America at best will resemble the Weimar Republic and at worst Zimbabwe. This is Dr. Dissident Michael Savage back in a moment.
Savage.
General Motors has been made bankrupt by the Obama administration and is now becoming Government Motors. As you well know, the government will own 60% of GM. What you don't know is who the government has put in charge of taking General Motors apart. His name is Brian Deese. He's 31 years old. He has no automotive industry experience. He never set foot inside an auto plant before. I doubt that he could change a set of spark plugs. How did he get the job? He is neither a formally trained economist nor a business school graduate. And though Chairman Obama put him in charge of restructuring one of the world's biggest auto companies, he recently said that the job was, quote, a little scary. Doesn't that inspire confidence? Doesn't that give you hope? The truth is that the inexperienced Deese is nothing more than a peon for Larry Summers, who, as head of Obama's National Economic Council, is the economic godfather of America. It was Larry Summers, in fact, who made GM and Chrysler an offer they couldn't refuse. You may not remember who Larry Summers is, but I do. He was Bill Clinton's Treasury Secretary. He helped push through the Graham-Leach-Blilley Act in 1999, which eliminated more than 60 years of restrictions against banks offering commercial banking, insurance, and investment services. And he set the stage with this for the financial collapse of 2008. And after Larry Summers went to work for Obama, it was revealed he collected millions of dollars in speaking fees from companies such as Citigroup, J.P. Morgan, Lehman Brothers, and Goldman Sachs, the very same companies he's doling out billions of taxpayer dollars to. The corruption couldn't be more blatant. It is a nightmare. Larry Summers knows that his peon, Brian Deese, will serve his purpose well. Quote, Brian grasps both the economics and the politics about as quickly as I've seen anyone do this, close quote, says Godfather Summers. And peon Deese starts the day at a desk wedged just outside of Mr. Summers' office, so he'll be on a short leash. But so what if Deese is young, unqualified, inexperienced, and acting as the peon of others as he runs GM into the ground, breaking apart one of the world's great companies? Chairman Obama is doing the same thing with the whole country. It used to be said that what is good for GM is good for America. I guess you can say today that what is being done to GM will soon be done to the country. Joining us now for our Eye on Hollywood, James Herson.
Thanks, Michael. President Barack Obama raised a load of money this week at a Beverly Hills campaign fundraising event. The president assured the beleaguered Hollywood dinner guests, who, by the way, paid $30,000 per couple. The president said, well, the economy is just peachy now. He said, it's safe to say we have slipped back from the brink. Obama told this cavalcade of stars at the Beverly Hilton that there is, quote, some calm that didn't exist before. He credited the so-called stimulus package, you know, the one that Congress passed without having read it. Obama credited it for improving the economy.
Why are we so surprised at what Obama's doing?
He also promised the crowd that he would make errors in the future. He said, I've made some mistakes, and I guarantee you I will make some more. Of course, the hosts, the DreamWorks trio, Steven Spielberg, Jeffrey Katzenberg, and David Geffen, were beaming. The Democratic National Committee took in more than $3 million from this ritzy event. And hey, why not? It pays to donate to Obama because you get swank ambassador jobs in return. Among the first ambassadors President Obama has named include his biggest money raisers. Bringing bucks from Silicon Valley was a guy named John Roos. Well, Roos, who speaks zero Japanese, was named U.S. ambassador to Japan. And then there's the Obama National Finance Committee member, Louis Sussman. Got to give Louis something. So Sussman, who does speak English, got the job as the U.S. ambassador to Great Britain. Hey, maybe he could talk some sense to the British government about removing a certain talk show host's name off that lousy list.
Oh, don't get me started.
But anyway, Vilma Martinez, a Walmart lawyer who supported Obama, will be the ambassador to Argentina. She gets to live in a brand new 43,000 square foot mansion in Buenos Aires. Tough life, eh? Charlie Rifkin, Obama's California Finance Committee co-chair, gets to be the U.S. ambassador to France. Well, at least his dad was an ambassador and Rivkin speaks Francais, but jobs that are critical to our nation's security not being given to those most qualified, but given as political payback for campaign support. I mean, that's the way politics is played in Chicago, where Obama learned it. It's called patronage, where a crucial position is given to a hack in exchange for campaign bucks. Some change, huh?
Unbelievable.
Speaking of change, the reaction of Hollywood celebrities to the California High Court's decision to uphold Prop 8 was mindlessly uniform, even for the left coast. George Clooney weighed in. He said it should be back on the ballot in 2010 and 2012 and every 2 years until all people are allowed a basic civil right. Charlize Theron said she was deeply disappointed by the ruling. She called it homophobia and discrimination, and she said she will continue to fight this fight for equality. Ellen DeGeneres blogged that someday we'll look back and we'll realize how wrong this was. And Demi Moore thought it was amazing that the country that likes to pride itself on liberty and justice for all can continue to fail certain groups. Ashley Simpson urged California to, quote, get it together, close quote. And Drew Barrymore explained, no one has any right to tell anyone what makes a family. Kelly Osborne posited that if you don't support same-sex marriage, you are not a real human being. And Perez Hilton, remember that judge? He attacked the president. He said, Obama's really not there for the gays. He has repeatedly let us down, Perez said. And Perez loves these three-word endings. Sad, 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 he said. The only celebrity voice not in lockstep was Miss California, Carrie Prejean. She said she was glad the people in California got to vote on this and that the decision was made. You know, no one can say that your ideas are in lockstep, Michael. So thanks for being an original.
Thanks for the update, James. This is the Savage Nation. Be here or be nowhere.
Savage.
Here's what's on michaelsavage.com. New articles, four new articles came out in the United Kingdom. Savage seeks damages in libel suit against UK's Jackie Smith. Many of you know the case where this socialist Labour government of England targeted me, took my statements out of context, put me on a list with known murderers, including a Hamas murderer who killed two parents and a four-year-old girl with a rifle butt, as well as terrorists, skinhead terrorists in Russia, who killed foreigners and are in jail for that. I never did any of the things she claims, and the British papers are running polls. All of them are in my favor. I believe that this government will fall, and I believe she will be out of office, not solely, of course, because of this act against Michael Savage and free speech, but because of the scandal surrounding her. And I want to then go to another thing on my website, which is Winston Churchill's statements. On the right side of michaelsavage.com, you can see support the Savage Legal Fund at 4 Embarcadero Center, 39th floor, San Francisco, 94111, because I was asked, how are you going to afford this lawsuit? And I said through my donors, my listeners, and myself. But underneath that are some words from Winston Churchill. In 1945, when he was, after defeating Hitler, that is, leading the country to defeat Hitler, he had to run for office as a conservative. And the British wanted full employment. They wanted a welfare state. And he tried to warn them what socialism would bring. And what he said was, no socialist government will allow free, sharp, or violently worded expressions of public discontent. They would have to fall back on some sort of Gestapo, no doubt very humanely directed in the first instance. And this would nip opinion in the bud. It would stop criticism as it reared its head. and it would gather all the power to the Supreme Party and the party leaders, rising like pinnacles above their vast bureaucracies of civil servants, no longer servants and no longer civil. He said, and where would the ordinary simple folk, the common people, as they like to call them in America, where would they be once this mighty organism, that he means of government, had got them in its grip? I'll let you answer that question, because we know where it would be. Beneath that are some articles you must see. The real danger of right-wing extremists, from the Rasmussen polling group, 67% of Americans oppose the General Motors bailout plan, which is a nationalization of the auto industry. It's a shocking nightmare to believe that you, the American people, don't understand that you are watching the emergence of socialism in America. Everyone in Europe who's lived through it knows what is happening, but the average American does not. From China and Reuters, we see the Chinese students laughed at Geithner's face when he went to China and tried to BS them. His answer that Chinese assets are very safe drew loud laughter from a student audience at Peking University. I guess the students there haven't been quite as hobbled as we free Americans. North Korea puts a long-range missile on its launch pad. Really? And here we're worried about what? Homophobia and racism. While the North Koreans have positioned its most sophisticated long-range ballistic missile at a launch site for a test, firing that could come in a few weeks, our U.S. Navy does nothing but drill and blow whistles. Today we read that the feds are going to protect abortionists. That's right, U.S. Attorney General Eric Holder dispatched the U.S. Marshals Service to protect appropriate people and facilities around the nation, meaning abortionists. Flu has history of four shocks. Well, I'll read that one. It's up on michaelsavage.com because they're saying there's no way to predict where this flu will go. Chicago, Barack's hometown, had six shooting deaths in 24 hours. Hey, what the heck? It's still Al Capone City, isn't it? Census sparks debate over counting illegal immigrants for representation. Isn't that sweet? Isn't that interesting? Activists, that means liberal socialist vermin, are trying to encourage illegal immigrants to be counted in the census so you can totally lose your nation. Oh, yes, we learned that Obama has sent 3,000 Secret Service agents in advance of his historic trip to Egypt. 3,000 Secret Service agents sent to Egypt in advance of his trip. Mexican drug cartels run local governments. I would direct you to the bottom left article on michaelsavage.com, What I Learned as a Car Czar, and this was the man who ran the Romanian car empire for the dictator Nicolae Ceausescu, and he told us it was a total and absolute disaster. He said, in the land of the blind, the one-eyed man is king. That's your land today. On an upcoming trip to Europe, Obama the Magnificent is planning to stop in Dresden, Germany. Dresden was the site of an Allied bombing campaign at the request of the Soviet Union to stop the advancement of Nazi troops along the Russian front. Joining us today to give us some insight on why this trip is so controversial is Ted Broman from the Heritage Foundation.
Thank you very much, Michael. It's really a pleasure to be with you today. As you know, President Obama will be visiting the German city of Dresden on his European trip on June 5th. And this is going to be a very controversial visit for a couple of reasons. Americans don't really appreciate the importance of the city of Dresden to the way that Germans and maybe Europeans as a whole think about the Second World War. Dresden is a name of a city, but it's the name of a city that has a very particular meaning. It means to Germans something very emotional, something very significant. Dresden for Germans has the same sort of emotional, rhetorical appeal that Pearl Harbor or the Alamo or Ford's Theater might have to Americans. These are locations that have enormous meanings. And no matter what you think about the meanings that people attach to these locations, you can't just wish them away. These meanings are real, whether we agree with them or not.
What meaning does Dresden have to Germans?
Well, Dresden was the site of a very important Anglo-American, British and American air operation in the Second World War. On February 13, 1945, about 1,100 British and American bombers attacked the German city of Dresden, which lies south of Berlin. The attack was a very large attack, and it created a firestorm that is an enormous raging inferno which consumed the center of the city of Dresden and killed between 18,000 and 25,000 people. Now, Dresden was, this is sometimes forgotten, Dresden was a center of war production. Dresden lay in the path of the advancing Soviet armies, our allies in World War II, and the Dresden raid was undertaken at the request of the Soviets to try to stop the Nazis from moving their armies through the Dresden railway junctions to attack the advancing Soviet forces. The Dresden operation was also part of a larger Anglo-American strategic bombing campaign that had begun in 1943 and continued on through the very end of the war. So this operation was part of a larger strategic plan that, taken all together, achieved very important strategic aims in winning World War II. Dresden, however, after the war, and even to a certain extent during the war, became a symbol. The symbol was, and I don't agree with this, of course, the symbol was the idea that the British and the Americans had bombed carelessly, had bombed wrongly, had attacked Germany unfairly through the air, and people later came to say had committed war crimes in the course of these air attacks. Now, this charge, this false charge, has grown and grown and grown over the years.
Well, who started this propaganda?
It was started by the Nazis, interestingly, who exaggerated the number of deaths at Dresden from about 25,000 to 250,000. When the communists took over East Germany after World War II, they took this Nazi legend and built on it and exaggerated it and made it part of their propaganda campaign against the United States, Britain, and West Germany, their enemies in the Cold War. It's since been taken up by a lot of people who don't really know where the myths originated from, but are sincerely unhappy about the Dresden attack and about the broader Anglo-American air war in World War II. This symbolism exists. I don't accept it, and I don't agree with it, but it's a reality. By visiting Dresden, regardless of what he says, regardless of what he intends to do, President Obama is making a trip that many Europeans will regard as a trip of apology, a trip of penance to a city that was largely destroyed by an Anglo-American air attack. There is very little he can do and say to wipe away this impression. It's particularly unfortunate that he's making this trip immediately after visiting the Buchenwald concentration camp, because the really hardcore critics of the Anglo-American air attack on Dresden argue that Dresden and the entire air campaign was a holocaust, just like the holocaust that was committed by the Nazis against the Jews and other peoples in Europe. This is a ridiculous, phony, fake, malicious charge, but it's a charge that's achieved some degree of popularity in Europe. So by visiting Buchenwald and then going immediately to Dresden, it might be said by critics that President Obama is saying, on the one hand, there is a visit to Buchenwald, the site of enormous atrocities committed by the Germans against the Jews and others. And on the other hand, there is the city of Dresden, which many Germans and others believe was the site of enormous atrocities committed by the British and the Americans against the Germans. It could be argued that this creates a degree of moral equivalence between these. We don't know what President Obama will say in his visit in Dresden, if he plans to say anything at all. But the point is simply that Dresden has a meaning and a myth and a legend behind it. That meaning and a myth and that legend are false, but they exist. It would have been much wiser if President Obama had simply decided not to visit Dresden, if he had simply said to the Germans, I'd prefer to go to Berlin, or I'd prefer to go to Frankfurt, or I'd prefer to go to Heidelberg, any city other than Dresden. Dresden has a meaning for Germans which we will not be able to persuade them is wrong, but which we should not imply is right in any way. It would have been much better if President Obama had simply avoided this issue.
Ted Broman, thanks for being on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Working with my auto task force, GM and its stakeholders have produced a viable, achievable plan that will give this iconic American company a chance to rise again. It's a plan tailored to the realities of today's auto market, a plan that positions GM to move toward profitability, even if it takes longer than expected for our economy to fully recover.
Suppose you want to talk about the GM socialized General Motors. You know, it used to be said what's good for General Motors is good for America. I guess you could say what's good for Obama is good for America, since this man is now seizing control along the lines of a socialist dictator. Only 21% of voters nationwide support a plan for the government to bail out GM as part of a structured bankruptcy. And if you actually learn who is running or is going to run the General Motors company, your hair will stand up. It's a 31-year-old kid who probably could not change the plugs in a car. And this 31-year-old child, Brian Deese, a friend of someone's friend in the Obama administration, who I'm sure could not change the spark plugs in a car, is actually in charge of dismantling General Motors. We've recently talked about the list of Chrysler dealers that have been forced to close and the possible link that these dealers were those who gave money to the Republican Party, not to the Democrat Party. That's right. This is something you'd expect in a banana republic in Chavez's dictatorship. But in Obama land, anything is possible. Ken Timmerman has been looking into this for us, and he joins us now in the Savage Nation.
I've got to admit, Michael, I was a bit skeptical when I saw the first reports of political favoritism in the closing and the choice of Chrysler dealerships to be closed by the Obama administration. People on the Internet have been doing some research into this and alleging that Republican donors had been hit harder than Democrats and that Democrat dealerships had in fact been favored by the administration. But as I began to dig into this a little bit deeper and went through this list of 789 Chrysler dealerships around the country that had been slated for closing, it appears there really is something to this. You now have an increasing number of these dealers who are disputing the bankrupt automakers' claims that they selected dealerships for closing on purely economic grounds. That appears to be not entirely the case. A gentleman named Jim Anderer was on Fox News the other day, and he owns Island Jeep in Lindenhurst, New York. He said that his business had been stolen right out from under him. And he also accuses the administration of political interference. If this is true, Michael, and I've got to say this is still an if. We need a lot more data in this, and it's the kind of story that is very data intensive, and I'll get into that in a second.
Well, if this is true, this is very serious. This is bigger than Watergate.
But if this is true, this is the material for a congressional hearing. It is corruption on a massive scale, a scale that we have not seen yet in this administration. And I can't really remember seeing this in my political lifetime, in the last 30 years at the very least, this kind of cronyism and corruption. You have, for example, a guy named Vern Buchanan. Vern Buchanan owns a dealership down in Venice, Florida, a Dodge dealership. He was a donor, a significant donor to Republican causes. He gave money to John McCain last year, to various congressional candidates. He also spent a whopping $5.3 million of his own money to get himself elected to Congress from the 13th District in Florida. That's the seat that Catherine Harris resigned from in order to run unsuccessfully for the Senate, U.S. Senate in 2006. Well, Buchanan won the seat, and he was reelected last year with 56% of the vote. And in fact, sometimes he voted against President Bush while he was in the House of Representatives. And yet he has been closed down by the Obama administration. Another number of other people in my own neighborhood here in suburban Maryland, Jack Fitzgerald, who is a prominent Republican donor, he's had his Dodge and Chrysler dealership shut down. You have Michael Maroon, who owns AutoNation down in Fort Lauderdale, another Republican donor, Max Pearson, Pearson Dodge in Midlothian, Virginia, Republican donor, Russ Darrow. Again, these are people who have given money to Republican causes, do not tend to give to Democrats, and dealerships that do give to Democrats have been allowed to stay open. Now, there are lots and lots of cases of these across the Internet. There's a blogger named Doug Ross who has a blog at directorblue.blogspot.com. He started to look into this in some detail. There's an anonymous blogger who identifies himself as Arkansas 3422, I think it is. He has been posting some detailed research on the with lists of the closed dealerships and examinations of the market share in various areas. And he and others have noticed that there are whole areas of the country where dealerships owned by Republicans have been completely shut down, and those left standing are either heavy Democrat donors or people who have simply not given to Republican candidates. Look, if this all needs a great deal more investigation, a lot more facts on the table, and I'm certain that the administration is going to deny that there's any kind of political involvement here.
But isn't this Obama administration supposed to be the most transparent?
But this smells like a very stinky herring, Michael. And if this turns out to be true, that there is this level of White House and political involvement in the selection of those Chrysler dealerships that were shut down, as I said, I think this could lead to congressional hearings that could be serious, serious damage for the Obama administration. One more thing I might point out is that the some of these dealers have now hired a lawyer to contest this in bankruptcy court, a guy named Balavia, and he interviewed the president of, he deposed the president of Chrysler just on Tuesday of this week, and the president of Chrysler made it clear that he did not see the wisdom of terminating 25% of its dealers. So, and he said that it wasn't really Chrysler's decision. He said, quote, they are under enormous pressure from the president's automotive task force. So this stinks to high heaven. It looks like political corruption, if you ask me. But it's a story that does need a great deal more investigation. I have yet to see a single piece on this outside of the wire services, Reuters in particular, in the so-called mainstream media. So I will continue to look into this in the coming days. So stay tuned.
Thanks for the update, Ken. This is the Savage Nation.
Savage.